Now, this is week number 3, class number 2 on revival. Let's pick up and continue forward. We talked about the fact that the teaching will be fine, and also the teaching will avoid the doctrines and traditions of man that have caused many churches and denominations to get off track. And if the church happens to be in a denomination, I guarantee you this is going to create major problems sooner or later, somehow. It's going to create some struggles. It'd be almost unheard of if it didn't. But the teaching is going to avoid those doctrines and traditions. Now, the reason for that is because when you get to the Holy Spirit will have been teaching you all along, and you will have come to understand where things have been missed in the past, where doctrines have missed it. And so you're going to be changing those things as you're growing and developing, so that when you do stand up and teach, it's going to be it'll be a teaching that doesn't go along with whatever's popular. Popular happens to be truth. Now, there can be a challenge for some people, because some folks, they want what they've always heard. They want to, this way we've always believed it. Yes, but we've been wrong. We need to correct it. This is especially true if it's the pastor. This is where the problem can lie. If it's the pastor, and he's been there for any length of time, and he starts, he's going to have to do one of two things. Either teach what he used to say was wrong, or not change. Now, if he doesn't change, forget the revival. It's not going to happen. I know of a situation where the pastor, somebody else, about a particular doctrinal issue, and the pastor said, I know that this is true, but if I preach it that way, then it's going to cause problems in my church. So, okay, well, you're compromised. You already have a problem in your church. Do you not see this? You've got a bunch of people in your church who are believing wrong doctrine. And because you don't want to confront, which is what would happen, you don't want to confront them over the fact that suddenly you're changing what you taught. You're willing to compromise. This is one of the benefits of line-upon-line teaching. It's kind of like what Jesus said. You have heard it said, but I say unto you, variation on that theme, you have heard it preached, or you have heard it taught. But now, folks, let's rethink this. Let's re-examine an idea of what's really here in God's Word so that we can be correct in what we believe. Let's see here. Classes. Classes will need to be started. Classes may extend beyond just Sunday and Wednesday. And this is going to require great organization and leadership. The tendency will be for people to attend revival services instead of classes for teaching. I guarantee you this is what's going to happen. In a revival service, that's where you're going to have a lot of stuff happening. Teaching, this, what we have here in these classes, this is not a revival service. This is teaching, okay? In a revival service, you're going to have a lot of things happen. There will be a lot of activity. There will be people maybe laid out on the floor, the power of the Holy hits them, and there may be people jumping up out of wheelchairs, etc., and so forth. And there will be the emotions of people are going to be, I want to be in that service. And think of it this way. I want to be where something's happening. Well, now, wait a second. Something's happening in here, in the classroom. Well, but this is just teaching. I mean, I want to be there where the excitement is. It's dull, huh? I mean, well, to the emotions, yes. This is where it's going to take great, great discipline. And the leadership aspect of this will present to the people, like the new converts. Now, folks, as you know, we have these services every night of the week, or whatever. We have these services particular nights. However, as new converts, you need to be in the ABC class. And those classes are held on Tuesday night, Monday night, whatever nights they're held. Now, we know that everybody likes to be here in the services, like you were here tonight, but it is extremely urgent that you attend these classes. Now, you can come the other nights to these services if you want. That's wonderful. But it's important that you attend these classes because you need to understand what God has started in your life. You need to understand how you could end up preaching the way that you've heard tonight. How you could end up ministering to people in the way that you've seen people ministered to. How that you've seen people have hands laid on them and they were healed. You need to understand that this is all available to you as well. And so what we want to do is help you grow in your relationship with the Lord so that you don't make the mistakes that a lot of people have made in the past. We're going to help you avoid this. So these classes are being held when they're being held, and you need to be there. Very important. When leadership handles this correctly, then you're going to get the new converts going to the classes. By the same token, spiritual maturity in the people in the church, especially those who are the teachers, their spiritual maturity is going to help them understand why they don't need to be in every one of the revival services, why they need to be in those classrooms teaching those new converts. And this is going to be a major challenge because the tendency is to want to be in there where the action is. And it is great to be in services like that. But at the same time, we have a responsibility to feed and to nurture the new converts. How many? Think of it this. Those of you that... Okay, let's put it like this. How far would all of us be tonight in our walk with God if we had had classes like those in this that we started the moment we got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost? See what I mean? You know, really, when you think about it, if any of us in this Bible college, since the first night of class, if we have learned new after new after new after new after new thing, that really, we should have known these things all along. They've been in the Bible the whole time. We should have known these things all along. Why didn't we? We weren't taught. They weren't presented to us. What we are doing in this Bible college, quite honestly, this should all be new convert stuff. Oh, but new converts couldn't handle this. Now, wait a minute. Think about the progression of the classes in this Bible college. The first thing we teach you is filled with the Holy Spirit and the gifts. They are for today, and it's real. Let's minister to you. We've had people get filled with the Holy Ghost that enrolled in this Bible college and weren't filled with the Holy Spirit because that first class got filled with the Holy Spirit. The next class after that is what? Teaching you to pray in tongues. The next is what? The new nature. Do you see what I'm saying? How it progresses? This whole Bible college is stuff that can be taught to new converts. We shouldn't have waited 30 years to hear this. But we did. And it wasn't all our fault. Okay, so praise God, we're getting it now. Hallelujah. We're going to be in the position to teach the new converts. God, we're going to be able to stand up in those classrooms when the people are getting born again and their lives are being changed, the backsliders coming back into God, and we're going to be able to stand up before them and teach these things to them. And every one of us, when we're teaching these things to them and going through the Scripture and walking them through the way that we've done this here in the Bible college, those new converts are going to look at us like Einsteins. How do you know all of this? How do you know? You know. Do you see what I'm saying? This is the kind of stuff that this Bible college, quite frankly, this Bible college is part of the preparation for revival. This is not just Bible college to say we have a Bible college. This is the first time I've ever said this publicly, of the preparation for revival. This is part of getting ready for what's coming. That's why my expectations of the students are, you need to be taking this and not just listening, passing tests, and writing papers. You see, if you miss this, if you think this is just about education, you're missing it. This is about you taking what you're learning into people. Let me borrow from a message on a Wednesday night or two ago. When Paul wrote to the Hebrews and he said, the time you should be teachers, you become such as need milk again, can't handle the strong meat. Alright? And how a lot of people give this excuse. Let me add the word lame to it. This lame excuse. Well, I'm not a preacher. I can't stand. I'm not a teacher. You know, I can't. Oh, I just get too embarrassed when I stand up in front of people. I can't say. I'm just so nervous, so intimidated. I can't do it, Brother Martin. I can't do it like you. You know, I'm sorry. You just find somebody else. Now, and I said, no. You're all teachers. Every single one of you in here. All of you. All of you. Every one of you in here can teach. Oh, no, Brother Martin, I can't do it. Yeah, you can. No, I can't. Yeah, you can. And I'm getting ready to prove it to you. All right? I use the example of Judy. She's really point. Crochet. Oh, man. It's that French stuff. Crochet. Ooh, crochet. Looks like crotchet to me, but it's crochet. And so she's crochet. And, you know, Bev is a nurse. And a bunch of you, I don't know what you are. And we had another guy in the church that, you know, he works on cars, body work. You know, he's really good with body work. All right, now, if I were to ask each of you something that you all can do really well, like, okay, let's say you know how to clean a bathtub. All right, I mean, just whatever you know how to change a tire. Maybe you know, but there's something you know how to do that you can do really, really well. Maybe it's cook a special dish or something, but you can do it. And if I were to take you and put you in a classroom of 10 people and say, would you just tell them how to crotchet? Would you teach them? would you show them, teach them how to change a flat tire? Would you teach them how? Would you? And it was so how to do it. You'd sit down in that classroom with absolutely no problem, no hesitation. You wouldn't sweat like a racehorse. You wouldn't, your pulse wouldn't grow up. You wouldn't pass out. You wouldn't, no. You'd sit there in that classroom and you would teach them step by step how to do what you know how to do. You know why? It's because you're comfortable with the subject matter. That's why. When it comes to the things of God, the only reason people say, oh, I could never teach on that. Oh, I could never. The only reason they do that is because it's not because they're intimidated. It's not because they're afraid of a group of six people. It's because they're not comfortable with the material. They're not comfortable with the subject matter. That's why they don't feel like they can teach. But according to Scripture, every person in the body of you in here are born again. If somebody, let's say I took you in a room and put you in a room of eight people that were lost, but they didn't want to be lost anymore. And I said, now listen, what I want you to do is just sit in that room with those eight people, just explain to them how to get born again. It would be the easiest thing in the world. They want to hear it. Tell me. How? Remember, Peter preached day of Pentecost, won't we be saved? And he told them. Likewise, every single one of you could do that in that kind of a scenario. You could tell that whole bunch of six or eight people or 10 people sitting down in the chair, you could tell them, well, you know, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Believe that God sent Him the Son, you know, accept Him, you know, in your heart and all of a sudden, yeah, and you'd be born again. Call upon the name. You could do it. That's because you're comfortable with that subject matter. But when you go beyond that, like the things in this Bible college, you've got all the syllabus for every class. You got your Bible. You have the tapes. Do you understand you have no excuse for not being so comfortable with this material that you could sit down with a group of five people in a little classroom or 10 or whatever it would be, and you should be able to convey this information to them? Your personality, but you should be able to teach it. If not, then you need to ask yourself why. Why are you so uncomfortable just with, say, first year material? Why would you be so uncomfortable with that that you couldn't convey this information to six or eight people in a, all of you sitting around a table? Why could you not do that? It's very simple. Because you're uncomfortable with the material. It has nothing to do with whether or not you're called to be a teacher. You may not be, but you could and should be able to sit down in a little room setting like that and just teach some new converts. I mean, new converts. They don't know anything. They're like little birds, you know, waiting for that worm. They don't know. You should be able to convey this to them. This is part of our responsibility as Christians and believers. This is a part of revival. See, here in this room right now, revival breaks out. I should be able to go to any of you and say, look, we've got a class of 10 new converts over here and I need you to teach new nature. You should be able to do it by now. You should be able to do it. And if you start panicking and you know, you're laying awake at night, it's like, oh, where are those sheep from that commercial? Oh, Jesus, what am I going to do tonight? Oh, hello? Yeah, please, would you pray for me? Oh, pray for me. You pray for me too, everybody. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, God, I'm going to blow it. Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus, I was up all night puking because I was so nervous about heaven. It shouldn't be like that. Yeah, pray. Okay, everybody listen to this. No, that's cheating. But now think. Think about what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, make them disciples or teach them, teaching them to observe whatever I've taught you. Okay? So I want you to make them disciples, and this is how you do it. You do it by teaching them what I have taught you. They didn't have tapes. But they did have the Holy Ghost. They also didn't have a Bible other than the Old Testament. That's all they had. And He still told them to go do it. Now, think. As they were doing what Jesus told them to do, making disciples by teaching them what Jesus taught them, what do you think they were telling those people in the process? You also are to make disciples, teaching them what we have taught you. And that's exactly what Paul said. He said, continue in my doctrine. He told them, follow me as I follow Christ. He said that they were supposed to convey this to other people. And so, with that kind of concept, I could say, as you have been taught in this Bible college, you now go forth and teach others what you have learned in this Bible college. It's the same concept. So see, all of this, what we're doing here, is preparation for a revival. All of you should be getting ready for this. I want you to understand that. If I'd first year, I don't know that the first year, some of you didn't have a clue what was going on. I'm not insulting. I mean, you know, we've all learned here in the process. But now you understand this better. This is all for you to be able to do. It's not just your ministry calling, but it's to teach the new converts. As described in Galatians, as described in Hebrews and so forth, it's to teach the new converts. Every one of you should be headed in that direction. A lot of people say, well, I'd use me. Why won't God use me? Well, are you studying to show yourself approved unto God? Why won't God use me? You've got to be approved unto God. You can get approved unto man. Hey, listen, all you have to do is find a church. Just hunt for a church. Shop all over town for a church. Sooner or later, you're going to find one that will accept you right now and immediately start using you in some way, shape, or form. It's very simple. Just look around. You'll find one. But that's the easy way out. God wants you to go so deep into Him that you're going to be able to turn around and tell people where you've been and what awaits them when they get there. He wants you to go so deep into God that you're going to be able to convey to them the kingdom principles. And this is all part of revival. Revival is not just about getting people born again. Revival is about helping people to grow up in the Lord. And that's where the teaching aspect of this comes in. The tendency will be for people to go to the revival services instead of the classes for teaching. And that includes both the teachers and the teachees. And there will be a need for attending classes. It has to be emphasized. A lack of spiritual growth means revival will produce nothing but spiritual babies. And mature teachers in the church will have to understand their responsibility to new converts. This should to all of the people in this Bible college at this point in time. You should understand this. Now, I realize what we've gone over here the last few moments. This can be a severe challenge to a lot of folks because, quite frankly, I don't know about you, but this is the kind of thing that is not taught in churches. The people in the church generally aren't presented with the idea of you're born again, You're supposed to, we can use you in these classroom settings, to where we can use you to convey this information to the new converts, where we can use you. This is all a part of revival. And this is one reason why a lot of churches are never going to have revival. It's because the people aren't being prepared to step in and fill these roles. They expect, well, you know, the pastor will do it or the associate pastor. No, it's a collective effort. That's why Jesus said, go ye unto. And He said, make disciplined followers. Not disciplined listeners, disciplined followers. Disciplined followers. Listeners and followers. We collectively are supposed to be a part of this. When it comes to training in the local church, people are going to be directed toward their calling. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A couple of verses there. 27 and 28. As the Lord is giving this to the body of Christ through Paul. You know what's amazing to me? Before we even read this, there are people that teach this whole book of 1 Corinthians was only for that church. Only for that church. Not for the body of Christ. That's one of the reasons, one of the ways they get around the thing of the gifts of the Spirit. Well, it was only for that church. Excuse me. Here, in 1 Corinthians 12, says, verse 27, you're the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now back up. Verse 27. It says, you're the body of Christ and members of particular. That verse alone clearly explains that 1 Corinthians was written to the body of Christ, not the church at Corinth. How do you figure, Brother Martin? It says, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You're the body of Christ and members of particular. And God has set some in the church. You're the body of Christ. The church of Corinth was not the only body of Christ. Meaning, that wasn't the sum total of the body of Christ. He says, you're the body of Christ, and you folks here, you're members. Notice He didn't say, God has only established you members as. He says, God has established in the church. The church. What is the church? Well, over in Ephesians, it talks about how that the church is the body of Christ. So God has set some in the body of Christ. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, etc. and so forth. Because we've learned in the past that miracles corresponds to evangelists. Gifts of healings corresponds to the pastor. Then you have the helps, the governments, and the diversities of tongues. Now over in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. Talking about that Jesus gave gifts unto men, and He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, as we've examined this, the perfecting of the men, the perfecting of the saints is the work that is done by the people in verse 11. The work of the ministry, helps and governments, edifying of the body of Christ, tongues, praying in tongues. We've gone over this in detail in the past. And so people are going to be directed toward their calling. Scriptural accuracy will be emphasized. And see, this is all a part of the correct doctrine. When the doctrine is corrected, then all of these extra ministries that exist will stop existing. It'll create problems for some people. Because so many folks live on the music pastor, children's pastor, associate pastor, this pastor, that pastor. The churches are established on these concepts. Denominations are established on these concepts. I mean, recently there was a major, major denomination that changed their set. The people in leadership, the men in various positions of leadership, you know, from pastor on up. They're no longer called pastors or anything like that. They're all called bishops. Bishop this, bishop that. Well, problem is, Jesus didn't set bishops in the church. He didn't give the gift of a bishop. Paul wrote and he said, look, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. Well, there's nothing in the Bible about desiring to be a pastor, desiring to be an apostle. I mean, that's what God has called you to be. But you can desire to have a position of maturing in the Lord. And we've talked about this again in detail. But an entire denomination changed their structure. And now they're calling everybody bishop this, bishop that, and you know, I mean, Bishop Bob. Give me a break. I don't want to be Bishop Bob. I don't want to. If you want to call me a bishop, if that makes somebody happy, well, this is Bishop, you know, Billy. Well, if you want to call me Bishop Jim, if that makes your emotions feel great, you know, call me Bishop Jim if you want. But God didn't call me. He called me as teacher. He called me as pastor. I have specific callings that line up with Scripture. See? That's why if you start exalting titles above callings, you're going to mess up revival. A lot of what I'm sharing in this course, it may sound, you know, like penny ante stuff. Ah, oh, come on, Brother Martin, you're being kind of nitpicky. Well, now, wait a minute. What's in the Word of God? Let's go back to Scripture. God outlined for us, what has He defined for us? What has He explained in Scripture? This is why it's so hard for some people to understand how come God's not doing more. Honestly, guys, you've got to believe me. God wants to. But when man tries to establish the way God's supposed to do it, and it doesn't line up with His Word, we're making it very difficult for God to accomplish the fullness of what God wants to accomplish. See, every one of us in here tonight, whatever church we go to, more than willing to see that church explode in revival. Absolutely willing. It makes no difference whether you have a man or woman pastor. God is more than willing to see that church explode in revival. He's not a respecter of people. He's not a respecter of churches or titles or shingles on the door or whatever it is. He just says, listen, if you want it, it's there. All of you. But it has to be according to my word. You know, you work the way I've outlined it. You've outlined it. And it's going to happen. So people are going to be directed toward their calling. They'll get away from the personality profiles. You know, we talked about that before. How that, well, if you want to know what your ministry calling is, you know, fill this out, color in the numbers, we add up the totals, and oh golly, gee whiz, says here that you got a 64, that means you must be a prophet. Well, no, you just answered everything in a mean way because you were paid. And so, you know, prophets, they assume, tell everybody off. So, you know, now you're a prophet. Well, 2 weeks from now, after you come back from vacation, everything's hunky-dory between you and the old man. You fill that thing out again and bless God. Now you're supposed to be a pastor because you have a loving heart. Okay? Well, I guess God changed your call. Praise the Lord. We don't understand His mysterious ways, but hallelujah. Well, you don't need a personality. Listen, you don't need a personality profile when you're teaching people to spend time with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is your personality profile if you want. He's the one that can outline for you what you're called to be. You don't need these things. It's just a way to get around spending time with God and receiving direction from Him. But, you know, well, you're not called to the... I have the gift of mercy. Where is that in Scripture? As though nobody else is supposed to have it. I have the gift of compassion. I have the gift of hospitality. What does that mean? We come up with all of these crazy things based upon a bunch of numbers, on a point total. That works. You know what? That does have some validity in psychology. All right? But when you're talking about the call of God on a person's life, you can't go by what do the numbers add up to. You have to go by what does His voice add up to? What is He speaking? Where is He leading me? And I taught about this one time in school. And then somebody came back to me and said, you're not going to believe it. Right after you taught on that, the next Sunday, they passed those things out to everybody in the congregation. She said, I couldn't believe it. She said, I didn't do it. I got up and walked out. Now, whether you do that or not is totally between you and the Lord, all right? We're not sending people back into churches from this school to create problems in the local church. The thing is, when you're teaching people, when you're training people, pointing them in the direction of the Holy Spirit, in the direction of God, you don't need all of that stuff. Now, think of it this way. What does that say about the people who have created these things? Think about that. They may have alphabet behind their name, but it means, at least in this area, they sure aren't hearing God very well. Because can you imagine God speaking to somebody and saying, create some kind of a point system checklist thing so that people will know what I'm calling them to do? See, when you start, you begin to realize just how far off base so many people are in the body of Christ. And it's not meant to condemn. It's not meant to say that they're going to be living in a doghouse up in heaven. It just means that man has not, the body of Christ in general, just does not know how to relate to God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and to receive from Him these things. When you're going to have revival, these kind of things have to be put in order. Time with the Lord is going to be stressed. And this next one will be a mentoring atmosphere. Some people don't like that word mentoring. Call it coaching. Call it shepherding. Call it whatever you want to call it. I don't know. But what it means is this. Those who are mature will make themselves available to help those who are growing. The mature ones will still be growing in the process as well. Mentoring, and I'm just going to use that word. If you don't like it, that's okay. Just, you know, work with me here. Mentoring is not the sole responsibility of the pastor, like a lot of people think it is. Mentoring, remember when Paul wrote, and I forget where the passage is, where Paul was writing, I think it was to Timothy, and he said, you know, the older women are supposed to, you know, teach the younger ones, you know, what to do. That's the way it's supposed to be in the body. Those who are mature in the Lord are supposed to teach the younger ones what to do. Now, that doesn't mean they move in with you and all this other. What it means is you're kind of like, well, like a mother hen type of a thing. And I'm not trying to tell you how such a thing will come about. The Lord will have to work it out. I'm not saying that you assign people to people. I'm just saying atmosphere of mentoring. That means that the people who are mature are going to kind of look out for the ones that are growing in the Lord. The pastors, when you have what's referred to as the pastoral staff, whatever that means in the church, you have the pastor, you have those who work with the pastor in different positions. People that believe they're called to be pastors, they need exposing to understand. That doesn't mean that they become who they're following, meaning that they don't do everything that the pastor does. But what I mean is there's got to be a way to help them get prepared. Like, okay, a Paul to a Timothy, a Paul to a Titus, you with me? That kind of a thing. And it got to the point to where eventually Paul sent Timothy to this city and Titus to that city to set things in order. Because they had grown in the Lord to the point where he could release them. Paul knew he didn't have to go. Paul had his pride under control. And essentially when he was writing, and he said things like, you know, receive Timothy, receive Titus. You know, when he would write about people coming and say things like, you know, they are special unto me, they've been a help to me and all this. And what Paul was saying, and you go back and read those passages, what Paul was saying was, receive that person, receive me, because they are going to be able to do in your midst whatever it is I could do in your midst. Treat that person like you would treat me. That's the way it's supposed to be in mentoring. That's the way it's supposed to be. When you have revival, this is going to happen. And it's going to cut down on a whole lot of the flaky stuff that ends up. Now let me. This isn't in your notes, but a byproduct of this mentoring thing, those who are called the pastor, I'm talking when the revival is going on, and it's happening. You're going to have those in the church that are called to be pastors. When they are ready, they will go out and start. They may not even start churches. They may go out and actually start pastoring. Exist. Scenario. Boy, that church down there. They've been in revival now for 4 years. The things that are happening are incredible. Hello, Pastor Revival Church. We have a church 800 miles away. We are desperately hungry for what's happening in your church. Do you have somebody that can come and help us? We need a shepherd. Pastor of the Revival Church says, we have people here who are ready to step out. Let me get in touch. Let me pray. And I'll call you back. Pastor of Revival Church prays, gets direction from God, calls in somebody and says, look, you've been with since before the revival broke out. You know you're called to pastor. There's an opportunity. You need to pray and see if this is of God. If it's not, don't go. But if it is, we're going to send you off with a blessing. We will commission you to go forth. We'll lay hands on whatever. That's how this kind of stuff happens. So then you have the person who's been in the midst of revival. They're ready to go. And they they, Timothy, they leave and go out and they take that church. You know what they do in that church? The same thing that's happening in the church they left. They teach those people. And because this person has, this new pastor has been experiencing revival, that pastor is going to be able to help those people enter in quicker. He left. Because that new pastor will be walking in a, I'm going to use this term for, just for clarity and teaching's purpose. He'll be walking in a revival anointing because of where he's been and how he's grown in that atmosphere. So now he comes into this church. And because these people are hungry and crying out for this, they're going to take what he teaches. They're going to begin applying it. And those people are going to be headed toward the exact kind, same type of experience that's been going on in the other church that the new pastor came from. This is the way it works, guys. This is what's going to happen. Here's what's incredible. How many of you in here tonight are going to be one of those pastors? How many of you in here tonight could be one of those that God will send to one of those churches? I don't know, but it sure makes you stop and think for a moment, doesn't it? This is how it's supposed to be. God wants revival to touch this entire planet and change the lives of people. God's programs will be established. Existing programs may be canceled. Challenge, challenge, challenge. We're not going to have vacation Bible school. Bless God, we've had vacation Bible school every summer for the last 37 years. And you're just going to, we're not, you can't do that. Why? That's not of God. Well, what was of God? Starting it and letting it go for 37 years? Or canceling it? I mean, programs may be canceled. Think of, boy, there are stories. I know of a pastor that went to a church in Cincinnati, and he walked in. He had been there a very, very short time, but the people really liked him, and he had one of those kind of personalities, you know, they like him. You know what I mean? You've been around people like that. Don't you wish you were like that? This guy was that way. And he got the church council, whatever it was, together, whatever they called themselves, church board, whatever. And he says, we're canceling everything. We're shutting down the Sunday school. We're shutting down this. We're shutting every program in the church. Got shut down. I mean, obviously they kept the nursery open, you know what I'm saying, but every program got shut down. And he said, we are only going to establish what God tells us to establish. Now, if I remember this story correctly, I forget how many people he lost. I really don't remember the number. Because, bless God, you can't just come in here and shut these things down. And his philosophy was, if it's not working, you know, it's been like this now for how many years in your church? This is the condition of your church? Uh-uh. We're shutting everything down. We're starting new. And we're only going to do what God tells us to do. That's the way revival can be. God may say, leave everything the way it is. Or He may say, shut it all down. He may say, cancel this, cancel this, cancel that. Think what? It doesn't matter. It's on the outside. If God doesn't want it in place, why should we have it? God doesn't want it happening, why should we do it? If it's not a program, God, you know, there are a lot of programs they have for, when I was growing up, we had what's called Royal Ambassadors, RAs, and then they had GAs, Girls Ambassadors, or Girls Auxiliary, RAs and GAs. That was like the boys and girls. There are things called Royal Rangers, I mean, all these different things. Now, I'm not saying that any of these things are bad, but what I'm saying is, there is this mindset that if you have a particular type of church, you have to have these kinds of programs. Who said this? Why? Well, we got to have something for the kids. Okay, what? We have to have activities. What does that mean? Well, we got to come up with something. Okay, come up with something. Oh, you know what I mean. We have to figure something out. Figure it out. Ask God what He wants. But we've had RAs, GAs, Royal Rangers, and Unroyal Rangers, or what? We've had all these things now for all these years. And you're just all of a sudden saying, you know, that we can't? Well, yeah. Then don't. I don't believe God would do that. Why not? Again, see, this is a challenge to the religious system, but not to God. If you're going to have revival, you have to have the attitude of, God, if you want to shut down, shut it down. Just say the word. The program will be canceled. Your clubs, as I meant, teen and single adult groups, oh my gosh. Look, if you're single and you're part of a single adult group, I have yet to find, well, let me put it this way. Nearly, this would be a good way to say it. Nearly every single adult ministry, organization, group that I have ever in my life encountered has been nothing more than a giant variation. It's just a meat market. Some of the people in that, they're serious about God. But some of them, man, there's so little Holy Ghost in there, it's pathetic. Again, I am not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you what I have experienced. But you know what? It's possible to have something like that if it's birth of God and anointed of the Holy Ghost, and it'll work. It will work. But it's got to come from God. And what you have so many times, well, they've got a group. Here, this church started this program. Let's get that implemented in our church. Mm-mm. When you're having revival, the only kind of programs that you need are the programs that God wants. New programs will develop as the Lord leads. Programs of the past or that exist in other churches. They may represent something never before seen. Revolutionary curriculum may be developed for the body of Christ. Here's the thing. Have you ever considered the possibility that your church could be the church that God wants to pour something new into the body of Christ? New curriculum? New programs? New ways of doing things? Have you ever considered, every program that exists, it started somewhere with somebody, and maybe all of them were birthed of God in the beginning, but then along the way, man got the hands involved and adjusted this and changed that, and then it lost its original value. I don't know. But there is so much that God can give the body of Christ. The kind of things that are being taught in this Bible college, do you realize that it's very possible for some anointed of God, hearing His voice, to come up with a type of curriculum to where all of what has been taught in this Bible college, all of these courses, could be presented to like 6 and 7 year old kids on a level that they can understand? You say, oh, that couldn't be. Sure it can be. Why not? Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. He's got something in store for them. That means a scaled down, whatever that means, version of everything that's taught in this Bible college can be presented somehow to these kids. Somehow. Well, somehow. Take a break. Praise the Lord.